Now, today's scripture lesson is another word from Paul, the Apostle Paul, very similar to what Carol spoke to the children about. But the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting with verse 4. Paul says to that church in Rome, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And so the word of God for the people of God. Now, during this fall season, I've been speaking from a Bible study that's entitled Experiencing God. It's written by Henry Blackaby, probably 20 years ago or so, and there are many other studies that have come out of that ministry of experiencing God, and these things there's a need to share these and go back to them to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. On one side of this bulletin insert shares somewhat of a summary of what we have shared about in the last five Sundays. And so in that summary, we're reminded of what knowing and doing the will of God is, how do we approach it as individuals, what it means to experience God, to seek Him, to search for what His desire for us is. And the reality, there are seven realities in this experiencing God and being reminded that God is always around us, working around us. We don't have to necessarily work up new ideas to do something and then ask God to bless it. He's at work around us, and it's our responsibility to recognize, to seek out, listen for the voice of God, and see where He is at work, what He's weeping over, the things that He desires for us as people of God, to join Him where He is at work and make a difference in His name. We experience God revealing Himself to us through His Word, through the Bible, and through prayer, and through circumstances. Even evil circumstances, God can reveal Himself to us and be reminded of His goodness and His love. And He also reveals Himself to us through the church, through fellowship, through ministries together, to reveal Himself and His purposes and His ways. And today I want to just explore a little bit of how this study approaches the question, what is God's will for the church? God desires for the church, not just Methodism, but the universal church, desires for a united church so that together we can accomplish God-sized mission to change the world in our love of God and love of neighbor. Right before Jesus went into heaven, as He ascended into heaven, right before He did that, He challenged those disciples. He said, go make disciples of Jesus Christ in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Taking what I have taught you, go out into the world. We might ask the question, well, why? For the transformation of the world. Ordinary people, through the power of God, doing extraordinary things. And thinking about those different ingredients that Carol was talking about as the body of Christ. All of us in this room have different gifts, different talents. But it takes just a little of one of those ingredients not to be in that cake, so to speak. And it's not very flavorful. And you look around the body of Christ, some of us are more salty than others. Some are more dry than others. Some are more egg-headed than others. Some are more sweet than others. And we could go through all those ingredients, but it takes all kinds to be a healthy body of Christ. And why? For the transformation of the world. Once again, as we were talking about a little earlier, is that Paul, this apostle Paul, that was a persecutor of the church, and the New Testament reading that was read just a little bit ago, he says, I've got all the qualifications in the world. I was under the tutelage of Gamaliel, the leading theologian in Jerusalem. I had that training. I had gone through all this training, and I was a zealous Pharisee, so zealous that I was so legalistic in my approach to this faith journey I was on, I missed the greatest message that's ever been spoken to the world. I had all the qualifications. And he said, I missed it all until I encountered the resurrected Christ. And he was never the same again. And so we have the book of Acts that speaks about the birth of the church and the Holy Spirit giving vibrancy to ordinary people such as Peter and the rest of those that were just ordinary men, but through the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit, God motivated them. And so at the birth of the church there, what is recorded in Acts 2, it's somewhat of a summary of that first century church. And as we move from chapter 1 of Acts through the end of Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. Well, that's true, but it's not wholeheartedly or not completely true, rather. It's Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. And so the birth of the church, God breathing life into that movement, the disciples of Jesus Christ. And they took seriously, then go in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit and making a difference. And so then after the book of Acts, we have Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And as we move through the rest of those letters of the New Testament, it's time after time that ordinary people were sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to a church hungry for the things of God. And these were birth of churches around that Mediterranean area. The message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ transforming the world. And over the last 2,000 years, we've seen that transformation from the birth of Pentecost in Jerusalem going out into a world that certainly needs the breath of God. And so that bulletin insert this morning, I won't read it word for word, and we don't want to be here all afternoon, but I give you this as an affirmation, a challenge to look at it. Paul's letter to the Ephesians there, he says, and I put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so who has the authority of the church? A pastor, a local church leader, or a diocese, or a conference, or a synod, or a church council? Or is the head of the church only Jesus the Christ? The church is called the body of Christ, and often it's called the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, I think we would all say that we're adulterers as that bride from time to time. We have to be so careful. Paul continues in that letter to that church in Ephesus. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. The church, the body of Christ, shouldn't submit to traditions or human decrees or the preferences or desires of the people, but submission should only be to Jesus, who is the head of the church. The words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And so Jesus wants all of his followers to be, and I put a little sarcasm there, divided into various religious denominations, or to be united and unified for the glory of God. You see, I believe that there's a purpose for different religious denominations. Catholic and Protestant. There's realities of how those developed. The 500th anniversary of the Protestant movement was just this last month. Martin Luther, and then the movement, and different denominations coming out of that Protestant movement, because it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit touching different people's lives, and those people were striving to make a difference in the communities and the sphere of influence that they had in the world, and so these different denominations sprung up. But they all have as their core a belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The significance of who we are as Christians in this world today. Paul continues, he says, you all speak the same, and that there be no division, or you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it was declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul speaking to these people, he said, why are you bickering all these things? We need to be united together, unified, taking this love of God that God has shown us through Jesus Christ to go out in his name and transform the world. A message of mercy, a message of grace and forgiveness. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and to love our neighbors, ourselves. Living that is best way we can with the gifts and talents that God has given us. Paul continues in that letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. God is asking us to worship together regularly, to be edified and to train by the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer and in the Bible, in church and in fellowship regularly. United together, unified together by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was on Sunday evening and then the tragedy there in Las Vegas, and I was up, as I said, early in the morning till I got dressed, and I had a meeting in Houston with the bishop and council there, and because we were speaking, looking at what the tragedy with that mean-spirited Harvey a month or so ago and the ramification of what does it mean to be the church today in our local communities and in Houston and Beaumont and in this our annual conference, the Texas Annual Conference. What does that mean for us as a church? And the bishop said that in reality is that most of our communities, it's going to be at a minimum of 3 years to get back to somewhat what we called normal a little over a month ago. And there are people that are struggling with life issues and their homes wrecked and their livelihood, many of them lost their employment at least temporarily. And the reality of the challenges, what can we do as a church to make a difference, to share the good news of Jesus Christ? How can we be his hands and feet as best we can through the gifts and talents that are under the auspices or the umbrella of our own denomination? And the reality is that we as one denomination cannot do it all, and so nor should we even try. And so that's the universality of Christian or Christianity, joining with all other Christians to make a difference. And one thing that the bishop said, he said he challenged us as church leaders and pastors and others. He said, are we really doing enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ? Are we challenging our own people? Are we challenging our communities? Are we living out our faith? And he said, when we join the Methodist Church, we ask people when they join, will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And the bishop's words he said, did you mean it when you joined the church? Did the church expect you to follow through with that commitment? And did God expect you to follow through? Because the bishop, speaking directly to us, he said, pastors, we don't challenge the people enough. We don't have a high enough expectation because we know people are busy and we don't want to step on toes and we don't want to impose upon their time and their resources. But he said, that's not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to expect higher of our people. Another thing that he said that a friend of his, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, he said, how many of you make it a regular routine to share the good news with people that you encounter every day? And the bishop, he got out 20 stones, and I've got 20 stones in my pocket here. I got sparkly stones. He said a colleague of his has 20 stones that he starts the day off in his left-hand pocket. And he intentionally and purposely, every conversation with someone else, he shares in one way or another the good news of Jesus Christ. And every conversation that he has that with a person, then he takes a stone and puts it in a right-hand pocket. And he says, by the end of the day, he wants to make sure that he's spoken to at least 20 people and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he said, the bishop said, he's been a pastor for 30-plus years, been a bishop for 20 of those 30-plus years. And he said, I've been there, and I realize that most of us, we try to do our ministry thing, and we get busy, and we don't allow it to be personal. Did you mean it? Did the church expect us to follow through? Are we sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others in our community? And so, to challenge myself, to challenge us as a church, if you would just take one and pass them along there, Drew. I thought, Instead of starting with 20, what if we just each take one and try to speak with one, intentionally speak with at least one person each day, and I believe our community would be a better place. Obviously, if we spoke to one or more and even 20 a day, think of what God could do through God's hands and feet, the imperfect, God doing through the imperfect to do the extraordinary. So what is God weeping about in our community? What does he desire for us to join him in his work? What does it mean to be the church today? Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, none in this room have all the answers, and I'm the first to admit that. I certainly don't have them all. But Lord, I ask that you would allow each of us to hear your voice, that we would take seriously, take time to listen for your voice, to allow you to speak to us. Because we know Christianity is not just what we receive. It's mostly about taking what we have received, that blessing, and go out and be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, I pray as a body of Christ that you would allow each of us to use the gifts and talents as part of those ingredients of the whole body to make a difference in your name. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.